Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the International Masterminders Association Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Laura Waller Greer. I am with Doretha Dennis, Ann McNeil, Sharon Jackson, Dr. Betty Knighton, and Danielle McNeil. We are the Palm Beach Life Planners Mastermind Group. We are energized and ready this early Saturday morning to be on the air with all of you. So I invite you to call, text, or email a family member or friend and tell them that we are on the air right now, or they can join us by way of internet by logging on to www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders with an S, or by phone 661-554-9219. If you want to communicate with us while we're talking, you can also join us in the chat room, or you can log on through your Facebook account. You can make a comment on our Facebook page and let us know you're listening and post your questions there as well. We will be monitoring the page while on the call. Today, we will continue our discussion on the bestseller, Think and Grow Rich, Chapter 6, Organized Planning. Our subtopic that we will be discussing today are the 30 major causes of failure, and that is found on page 126. So before we get started, Doretha Dennis is going to tell our listeners a little about the International Mastermind Association. Thank you, Doretha.
Good morning, everyone. The International Mastermind Association, better known as IMA, is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and to hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you're going to succeed in any endeavor. Successful people have plans while failures never plan. Napoleon Hill said, "Education, knowledge, and influence is more powerful than any exchange of money." For more information about IMA, International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, www.internationalmasterminders.com, or Facebook, International Mastermind Association. Follow us by liking us. We want to say to our founder and president of IMA, Ms. Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, Building Masterminds. I am sure she's out there listening with us, and at some point she will join us during the broadcast. Thank you.
Thank you, Doretha. Okay, so this morning, while I don't know where you guys are, those of you who are listening to us this morning, but I'm here in West Palm Beach, Florida, and it is a beautiful, beautiful day, and we are just so grateful to have all of you on the line with us today. Now, we're going to talk about the 30 major causes of failure. How many of these are holding you back? That's personal, holding you back. And we're not going to have an opportunity, obviously, to go through all 30 of them today, but we do just want to give a snapshot of some of them. And before I get started on the snapshots that I'm going to talk about today, I just want to read the preface of what the author said before he started to list the 30 major causes of failure. He says that my research and analysis proved that there are 30 major reasons for failure and 13 major principles through which people accumulate fortune. It says in this chapter, a description of the 30 major causes of failure will be given. It says as you go over the list, check yourself by it, point by point, for the purpose of discovering how many of these causes of failure stand between you and success. And as I looked at these, and I was talking with one of our life planners last night, and the suggestion was made that, well, as we each take a time, turn talking or whatever, just kind of go through and then list the one that has most impacted them. And as I looked at it, the number two talks about an unfavorable heredity background. And then I read that, but then I said, you know what, with me, I want to start with number two. It says lack. I mean, that is a loaded word. It's only four letters, but it is loaded. Lack of a well-defined purpose in life. And I know those of us who have read the Mastermind, read the Think and Grow Rich book, when the author started in the beginning of the book, that's what he continued to talk about, a well-defined, a burning desire, purpose in life, that there is no hope of success for the person who does not have a central purpose or definite goal at which to aim. At least 98% out of every 100 of those people whom I have analyzed had no such aim. Perhaps this was the major cause of their failure. And when I read that, and then I think back in retrospect when talking about, you know, that our environment is what many times, what shapes and impact our future, because it said that everything starts in the home. It does not start in school. It starts in the home. And then our next exposure is usually the church or some other organized social group. And many times, if there is a lack of a well-defined purpose, it's because the child has not seen that in their home, and whatever is bred, that is what grows. So talk about a lack of a well-defined purpose in life. But thank God, as we continue to grow and we associate ourselves with people who possess that which we may lack, that aids in us turning situations around. And then the next one that I really like was, again, it has the word lack in it. That's number five, lack of self-discipline. Says discipline comes through self-control. This means that one must control all negative qualities. Before you can control conditions, you must first control yourself. Self-mastery is the hardest job you will ever tackle. If you do not conquer self, you will be conquered by self. And when I read that, you know, one thing that came to mind was to talk about lack of self-discipline. And when I was reading over this last night, I thought about many people who make New Year's resolutions and people who want to accomplish, no matter what it be, you know, you fill in the blank. You want to lose weight. You want to go higher in your profession, whatever it might be. But if you don't have, you don't possess the discipline to take that negative that's in your life and turn it into a positive, you will never reach that goal. I started as a claims adjuster. Well, actually, no, even before that, I worked with State Farm, a big insurance company, for 19 years. And when I started in upstate New York as a front desk receptionist. But I was surrounded by people who had finished college. And with me, I started college, but I hadn't finished. And these people, and I had a desire to not remain as a front desk receptionist. I wanted to drive the kind of cars they were driving. I wanted to do what the adjusters was doing. I wanted to sit in the office where the manager was sitting. But I knew that if I was to attain a reach that I had to discipline myself and go ahead and finish college. So then that's what I did. I went ahead and I finished college. And even though I didn't want to go to class, I didn't want to study, because I just wanted to just enjoy myself, enjoy Laura. But if I had to learn that that lack of self-discipline would never get me to where I wanted to be. So that's why when I highlighted where it says self-mastery is the hardest job you will ever tackle. And you would wonder, well, why is that so hard? Because someone said that we are our greatest enemy. We hold the key to our success, and we hold the key to our failure. And he concludes that number five by saying, you may see at one and the same time both your best friend and your greatest enemy. Wow, that is powerful. That is heavy. You'll see, as you look at the man in the mirror, that lack of self-discipline, you hold the key to both. I hold the key to my success, and I hold the key to my failure. And the other one that I looked at was another one. They all kind of fit in the same category where it says procrastination. That's number eight. It says procrastination is one of the most common causes of failure. Quote, unquote, old man procrastination stands within the shadow of every human being, awaiting his opportunity to despoil one's chances of success. And, you know, our biggest thing about procrastination is what? Tomorrow. I will do it tomorrow. And someone, I think it was the Wine, and they wrote a song, tomorrow may never come, or if tomorrow come, tomorrow may be too late. So it says, do not wait. The time will never be just right. And how many of us can identify with that? Waiting for everything to be just right, for everything to fall in place. How many of us know that when we think everything has fallen in place, guess what? The questions are changed. The opportunities are changed. Everything is gone. All the spigots that was put in place has been removed. So we cannot wait. We cannot procrastinate. I'm talking about some of the major causes of failure, why we don't reach our goals, why we don't get that what we are desiring. And then the last one that I want to talk about is, is about the lack of persistence. So most of us are good starters, but poor finishers of everything we began. And I can definitely relate to that. I'm part of one organization that these people, they have the best of best ideas. They start so many good things. But when I go back and look on the book, not one of them has ever been concluded. But they were great. But lack of persistence, because something else is always coming up. That there is no substitute for persistence. The person who makes persistence a personal watchword discovers that, quote, unquote, old man failure finally becomes tired and makes his departure. Failure cannot cope with persistence. So with those four snapshots of some of the 30 major causes of failure, we're going to go to another commercial right now, and after commercial, we're going to come back and hear from some of our callers and also hear from others of the Palm Beach Life Planners in some of the areas that has mostly impacted them. And then also, before I conclude, I'll just kind of hit on how I overcame some of the failures that that arose in my life. Thank you, Dorita, for our next commercial.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Minders Association. We are the Palm Beach Life Planners Mastermind Group, and today we're discussing organized planning, the 30 major causes of failure. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and other shows anytime on the web or join us live by calling into the show. The number is 661-554-9219. If you want to communicate with us while we're talking, just press the number 1. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account. Just as a side note, after you have made your comment, it would be helpful if you would press 1 again. That will take your hand down. But I want to return back to Laura. Thank you very much. But again, call us every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock and we're here.
Okay. Thank you, Sharon. So now at this time, I am going to ask Dr. Betty Knighton if she would comment on from the selection of her choice of the 30 major causes of failure that has impacted her life. Thank you, Betty.
Thank you, Laura. The first one I would like to mention is insufficient education. After high school, I attended a community college for 2 years, but then I stopped my education. And it wasn't long that I hit the glass ceiling. I could not go any further on my job. I did not have the necessary education. So I had to make a decision to go back to school. But by then, I had a husband, a house, 2 kids, a dog, and a job. Needless to say, that was very difficult. But I had to do it. So it says here that this is a handicap which may be overcome with comparative ease. And again, once you make up your mind that you are going to go back and get that education, experience has proven that the best educated people are often those who are known as self-made or self-educated. The author goes on to say, though, that it takes more than a college degree to make one a person of education. Any person who is educated is one who has learned to get whatever he or she wants in life without violating the rights of others. So I think that's a good one to consider, and I would advise all young people, get your education while you're young. Another one is ill health. It says no person may enjoy outstanding success without good health, and it lists some of the causes. Now, the one that applied to me for right now is overeating of foods that are not nutritious and conducive to good health. And one example I have is that the overeating of sugar, foods with sugar. For a person with arthritis, sugar is very bad for you. And then if you don't take care of yourself, you create a situation where you are no longer able to take the exercise to the degree that you would like to take exercise. So inadequate physical exercise can also cause problems. So when I get this situation taken care of, I will be out on the walking trail every day. Now, there's one more I'd like to talk about, and it's over-caution. Sometimes we can be too cautious. It says a person who takes no chances generally has to take whatever is left when others are through choosing. It also says that over-caution is as bad as under-caution. Both are extremes to be guarded against. Life itself is filled with the element of chance. One example I can give in my life is that back in the 70s, I was a realtor, and I was also investing in properties. And there was one unit, it was a multiple unit, had about 4 units in it. And I thought it was a good deal, but I analyzed, I overanalyzed, I crunched the numbers, I went back and forth, I thought about it, and then I decided, well, I'll take a chance on it. But by then, it was too late. Somebody had already bought the property, and it really hit home with me when 3 years later, that same property sold again for double what it was listed for when I was analyzing it. So I analyzed myself right out of a bunch of money. So sometimes we can be too cautious. Sometimes that's out of fear or uncertainty, but we must analyze but not overdo it. Don't be overly cautious. So those are the 3 I wanted to share. Thank you so much, Laura.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Betty. Wow, I can relate to much of that, what you said. Okay, the next Palm Beach Life Planner that we're going to ask to come in, this person is really not part of our group, but this young lady, I have a lot of respect for her because I watched her grow up. She grew up with my son, and I know that she started doing some things and then she stopped, but it's so beautiful to know that what the track that she's on now. So if I might have the privilege of doing so, I'm going to ask Danelle if she would comment on something from the 30 major causes of her choice. Danelle?
Good morning, Ms. Laura. Thank you. I would say on page 129, number 10, negative personality, Napoleon Hill states, there is no hope of success for the person who repels people through a negative personality. Success comes through the application of power, and power is attained through the cooperative efforts of other people. A negative personality will not induce cooperation. There are a lot of aspects of a negative personality that affect relationships, whether they're business relationships, personal relationships, intimate relationships, stranger relationships. As a matter of fact, some friends and I just this week were discussing and practicing our neutral face. And you may wonder, well, what does a neutral face have to do with a negative personality? And it has everything to do with it because typically the first thing that a person sees when they look at you is your face, and your face may have a scowl on it. You may not mean anything by it, but that's what they receive. That's what they interpret you as feeling or being, and they go on to analyze your face as a person having a negative personality. And you may be one of the nicest, most genuine and sincere people that anyone could ever know, but if your face and your body language exude a negative personality, then that's what they take you for, and that's what they'll always take you for. And I know this firsthand because I've had to work through that. Anyone who knows me for the most part knows that I don't have a negative personality, but over the years I have had to work at showing on my face and my body language that my personality is not negative. So I really believe that it may not be the most important, but it is extremely important. Thank you, Ms. Laura.
Great. Thank you, Danelle. Thank you. Yeah, that's a great one. I know from a personal experience. I have a friend, and I really like this lady a lot, but she is so negative, so I can only be around her for a short period of time because everything that I say, trying to induce something positive in her, she always turns it into something negative. Okay, so the next Palm Beach Life Planner that we're going to ask to comment, we're going to ask Sharon if she would also comment on the 30 major failures.
Thank you, Laura. You know, I want to go back to number two, the lack of a well-defined purpose in life. I'm not sure, but I think everyone in my age group had parents that always talked to them about, you need to have an education, or you need to do this, or you need to do that. And my parents did, absolutely, and I applaud them for making sure that I knew that I was supposed to go to college. But that's all they told me. Or they'd say, you got to go to college, and then you have to get a good job to get insurance. And then you stay there for 30, 40 years, and you retire. How great is that? But that's not enough. And, you know, I went through school. I said, shoot, I'm going to college. And then they said, well, you know, just getting an undergraduate degree is not enough, Sharon. You have to get a master's degree. Okay, I went and got a master's degree. And, you know, but when you get out there and you're thinking, wait a minute, but I'd been sitting on a job for like 5 years, and I said, I got to get out of here. So I go to the next job. You know, but when you don't start out with a mentality of defined purpose, And knowing exactly where you're going and what it is that's going to get you there, then you're behind the eight ball. In this chapter, in the first couple of pages, and I'm hoping that I highlighted it, it talked about one of the things that you have to do is that you have to not only have the desire, but you have to know from the very beginning who you are, that you are not just an intelligent person, but you're a leader. And then to put all these things into the, you have to decide at the outset whether you intend to become a leader or you're a chosen follower. And even if you're decided to be an excellent follower, you eventually become a leader. And I wanted to make sure everyone understood. You know, Laura's already indicated background, your parents. Yes, your parents may have encouraged you, but your parents tell you what they know, and that's all they know. So you have to make sure that your mind is always open to understand and to watch those people that are doing more than you. You always have to look at that. So while my defined purpose in life early on was to get my education, grab that education, and get a good job, okay, it wasn't until well later until I said, well, I'm able to do more than that. I am, in fact, more than, I'm looking at these people that supervised me. You know, but it took me a long time to get my head out of the sand and to do better. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is, that was number two that I talked about. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about was being overcautious. Betty already talked about being overcautious, but I wanted to put another spin on it. One of the things that you have to be very careful about, particularly after you make the decision that you are a leader, is that be mindful of the people that have influence over you. Because I have seen people do this because I experienced it, so I notice it in other people. When people know that you haven't made a defined decision of being a leader and an exceller, then sometimes they can put it in your mind that you're mediocre. And they nitpick your work. Or they nitpick your desire to thrive or whenever you come up with a good idea. So then you become overcautious. Overcautious about your reports when you submit them. Overcautious about every jot and tittle. Now, we are supposed to be perfect, okay? We are supposed to strive to have excellent work, but overcautious is something else because overcautious means you focus on the moment. You focus on what you're getting ready to turn in. You focus on that, but not on the big picture. Not on the big picture. I went through it for myself, so I knew that that's real. And I watched other people do it. And to talk them out of that mindset takes a while. But overcaution is something that you have to be very careful. It's not only just something that you, because even my parents, they are so funny. When I first got a job, or I told them, Mom and Dad, they've already called me. They want me to be a department head. And they said, wait a minute, Sharon. Wait a minute. Does that mean that they can take that job just like they gave it to you? Does that mean you're getting rid of all your... So I just wanted to make sure that I told you that... make sure that I told you, overcaution has a lot of different ways of being looked at. But overcaution... is good to be cautious, but not overcautious. I'm going to turn it back over to Lauren to remind you that we have 1 minute before we go to the next commercial.
Okay, very well. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you. And while we are using up that 1 minute before we go to other callers and masterminders in regards to a selection of their 30 major causes of failure, she's talking about being a person just accepting mediocrity. Number three, it says, we offer no hope for the person who is so indifferent as not to want to get ahead in life and who's not willing to pay the price. And after the commercial, I might just come and just talk about that just a little more before we go on and continue our discussion. Okay, we thank you for Dorit or Sharon, who will give us our next commercial at this time.
For more information about the IMA International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, www.internationalmasterminders.com, or on Facebook, International Mastermind Association. Follow us by liking our page. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version, restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. The ISBN number is 1.59330.200.2. Thank you very much. Again, we are the Palm Beach Life Planners today, and we are, Laura Greer is our primary host, and we are talking about organized planning. Thank you, Laura.
Okay, thank you, Sharon. And our subtopic is the 30 major causes of failure, because I know that no one likes being a failure. There is a scripture in the Bible that says that many are the plans of man, but it's God's plan that prevail. And the word tells us, you know, before you start to do anything, what does it say? Plan. Count up the cost. So I see that we have 9 callers on the line. So before we hear from Ann McNeil and Doretha, they're the only two of the mastermind of the Palm Beach Life Planners group that we've not heard from, we're asking if there are any callers on the line outside of those two that I just mentioned that would like to make a comment on the 30 major causes of failure. And if you don't have the Think and Grow Rich book in front of you that's taken from page 126, please comment on areas of your life where there may have been a failure, but then tell us how you dealt with it and where you are now after having dealt with it. Are there any callers that would like to comment on that at this time? Okay, if not, we're going to now hear from Doretha. Doretha, are you still there? Okay, looks like she's on mute. All right, how about Ann? Okay, I don't know if Ann is still on, if she is out of the loop or where she can hear us. But nevertheless, let's go on and we talk about people being mediocre, not having a desire to reach above the norm. And, you know, I think that might be an oxymoron, saying not having a desire to reach above the norm, but then yet you want to gain something out of life. Because I don't know anyone that I have met who are just content with being at the beginning stage of their life. Because one thing about it in this day and time of being the age of technology and all, where people are really achieving whatever you want to achieve, and there's really no real true reason, whereas we cannot accomplish whatever our goal is. Because right now we're all sitting in different places throughout the country. I'm sitting here in my living room. Other people are up the other place, but we're virtual, right? And so with that being said, whatever we want to do, that we must align ourselves with people who have already reached the goal and then learn from them, mirror those people. I'm a big proponent of mirroring. Number 13 says lack of a well-defined power of decision. People who succeed reach decisions promptly and change them, if at all, very slowly. People who succeed reach decisions promptly, and then they change them. Because what do they learn inside of that? What we learn inside of that, if I came to a decision promptly, my thought has already gone into it. But then if I'm haste, if I'm haste in changing it, then therefore I will never reach the desire that I aspire to reach. People who fail reach decisions, if at all, very slowly and change them quickly and frequently. Indecision and procrastination are twin brothers. Where one is found, the other may usually be found also. Kill off this pair before they completely hogtie you to the treadmill of failure. Now, those in our listening audience, I think that sums it up. I don't mean as in concluding of today's show, but in the fact that where we are or where we're not, we have to examine our thought pattern. We have to examine who we are associating with. We have to examine if we are people that's persistent or if we are people who accepted the status quo and not willing to go beyond the norm. Says, kill off this pair before they completely hogtie you to the treadmill of failure. And number 15 says, wrong selection of a mate in marriage. Wow. Wow. Says, this is a most common cause of failure. The relationship of marriage brings people intimately into contact. Unless this relationship is harmonious, failure is likely to follow. Moreover, it will be a form of failure that is marked by misery and unhappiness, destroying all signs of ambition. But, you know, the thing is that nothing is ever final unless the person themselves allows it to be. Because I made the wrong selection of a mate in marriage, but that did not stop me from going on. Someone says that a wise man falls 7 times, but he picks himself up. At this time, I am going to ask Danelle if she would tell us about the youth. The youth also has a blog talk, and they also do a mastermind. And she became part of the mastermind in her youth. So if she would just tell us a little about that, would you please, Danelle?
Of course, Ms. Laura. Thank you very much. The International Mastermind Association has a youth organization, has a youth component that also meets face-to-face on the fourth Saturday of every month here in Miami, Florida. Their blog talk radio show is on the first Sunday of every month. The youth meet and discuss the principles of the International Mastermind Association as the adults do, and they come together. They hold one another accountable. They set their goals. They work their plan. They plan their work, and they are like a younger version of what we do, and we've had some great, great accomplishments in the Youth Mastermind Association. Sharon Jackson and Stephanie Ebanks are the advisors for the youth, and we welcome any and everyone who has a youth, and in fact, we're currently working on the 2013 programming, so we're really excited about what they're going to be doing and their outcome. And so we invite everyone to join in on the first Sunday Blog Talk Youth Call and or join us at the Youth International Mastermind meeting on the fourth Saturday. And you can inbox us at International Mastermind Association, or you can inbox myself, S. Danelle McNeil, for more information. And that's
okay.
Thank you, Danelle.
Okay, and I see now Rufus has his hand up. He would like to make a comment on the 30 major causes of failure. Thank you, Rufus.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. As always, I am here to inject the hairy-chested viewpoint. But, you know, it's really refreshing. I want to say, one, thank you to Ann McNeil for creating International Masterminders. Two, for stepping to me so strong that day and saying, hey, this will be good for you. This lady doesn't even know me. But Nefreda knew me, and she said, yeah, this would be good for you. I said, okay, I went with it. So when we talk about this, I say the importance of this, the mastermind. One, I found a mastermind to be a warm cocoon a week ago. My father-in-law passed away, and he and I were teamed up on my son from the male perspective, and whole nine yards, mastermind, shaking hands, making eye contact, the whole nine yards. And the mastermind process has been amplified even greater because of the loss of the scene. We talk about Barnabas, Timothy, and Paul. So, well, you know, one-third of our program has been pulled away from us. But, you know, like I tell my son, the information, the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is still intact. So now I, through the mastermind process, have to kick it in the high gear, and my son will be involved in the new year of masterminding as well. But when you talked about those reasons for failure, you talked about education, and I believe it was, and someone talked about making decisions and sticking to the decisions. The education is a thing that it comes in many different ways. You know, I talk about emotional. When my dad died when I was 4 years old, emotionally, I didn't recover. I didn't understand it for 2 years. My mother never remarried, so I didn't have a consistent masculine presence over me. So I had to figure out a lot of things for myself. So on the academic side, I suffered. But what I discovered, I had a joy for reading, and I read, and I still read everything I can get my hands on. And I was given a second chance by Florida A&M University. It had to be divine because I look back at the paperwork, and there's no way I should have been in anybody's college, but the second chance was given to me. I took it, and I ran with it. So reading, 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 and association. We talk about if you don't make a clear decision, if I can get anyone out there in the listening world to make a decision, and that's the decision definitively that you don't want to be where you presently are, that's your first strong decision. And then two, as you move out, you make a plan. And then you are selective about the individuals who you associate with and who you share your plan with. That, we talk about that association. As you continue to educate yourself, because it's your primary responsibility, you can't, you know, because nobody can force education or enlightenment upon you. You have to be open to receive it and seek it. So when you make that decision, then you reach out and you create the mastermind and your mentors and those individuals who are not baby-caking you and telling you what you want to hear. You need individuals who are going to give you that hard, fast, ugly truth. You know, I remember, those of you who know me, I wear a bald head, and I remember the first time I shaved my head, and my father-in-law, who was my man, he said to me, he says, oh, what? So he said, so, oh, that's supposed to look good? He said, what, the black man got to have a bald head now? And he gave it to me, boom, his opinion, and I trusted. I was feeling a little bad as a man that I make a mistake. So after my mother-in-law got on, he came back to me and put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But because I respected him, you know, and in your mastermind, you're working with people who are just like selling, who you know, you respect, and you trust. So you know that they're not going to give you bad information anyway. And as you make that move out, you're right. Someone said about you have to make that decision and move out as a leader, because if you're not, they will nitpick you and nitpick you and nitpick you right in the dungeon. You're one door away from leaving the dungeon, a leaving prison, a leaving hell, and they will talk you right back to a seat by the fiery furnace, and you'll sit down and just take it. And you have to be. You have to be, because essentially what you're doing is you're fighting for your very life and existence, and if you have children, your children will emulate your behavior, good or bad. So, I mean, that was the premise of my last book, Raising Champions. We raise champions by striving to be champions ourselves. Children live what they learn. And our associations, we emulate who we associate with, those who we know, trust, and like. So those are two keys to get the ball rolling. I thank you all for having this mastermind discussion. I would love to. I'm working with Ann on, she gave me some information about bringing it into the school system because these kids need this. Those of you who are in education, you understand what's going on, especially in the African-American community. If there's any way I can help anybody, you can inbox me on Facebook at Rufus Curry Jr. Or RufusCurryJr.com. You know, I'm in the fight to win.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Rufus. At this time, we're going to go to another commercial, and we thank all of those of you who are tuning in to us this morning. Commercial, please.
For more information on the IMA International Masterminds Association, visit us on the web, www.internationalmasterminders.com, or on Facebook, International Mastermind Association. Follow us by liking our page. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version, restored and revised. Again, if I may, I'd also like to remind people, as Danielle has already, the youth meet once a month. We also have a blog talk show the first Sunday of every month at 4 o'clock. So we have they interview one another. They find their own persons that they interview. They think up the questions. They work with the person ahead of time. It always is a very, very, very good show. So we ask everyone to call back in on Blog Talk the first Sunday of the month at 4 p.m. Laura, we do have Ann McNeil on the line, and her hand is up.
Okay, and thank you, Sharon. So before we go to Ann, I see that there's someone that's been holding for a while, and their hand is up. The last four numbers are 8807. That is your last four digits of your phone number. So whomever you are, your mic is open, and we are listening for your comment.
Okay, good morning. And I am calling in reference to, we're listening in, and been listening to one that that has really encouraged me the most was one that was talking about that after you come out of you're in a bad marriage, that it could be killed your ambitions, but on your way up, but it depends on the individual. My part that I want to state on that is that after being in business for years and coming out and then when you do, you're not running as fast as you could, but then you pick up the speed and do it. But then since the business community is familiar with you being in business with your spouse or whatever, they don't really accept the individual part now, and saying, well, you know, I don't know if you could do it alone, or I don't know if you can do it like this, so the opportunities start dropping. But in our economic, financial economic that we're in now, it's important to run fast and try to get something going as fast as you can. And then when you can't and all of those ends keep meeting and then finance catch up with time and still having focus, and then it starts like, well, no, now you don't even have the finance to make it happen. But you're also running out of time. So I feel like both of these sort of runs together. But like I say, it's about associating yourself, too, with the people who can help. But with our economy in the shape that it's in, you're finding everybody being a little bit more selfish and to themselves and see, well, I got to make my part run. And it sort of like kicks anybody that can't hang financially out the window. So that's what I want to say.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, caller. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're going to hear from another one of our Palm Beach Live planners. This is Ann McNeil. She's the founder of our Mind Group. Ann.
Good morning. Thank you so very much, Laura, and all of the callers. And this is Ann McNeil, the master builder, building stronger and better lives. And I just wanted to chime in and encourage everybody to look forward to a new program that will be coming on Blog Talk Radio, sponsored sponsored by the International Mastermind Association, host and co-host Rufus Curry Jr. and Laura Greer, that will be putting together a program for us on selling and your business and how to make that business work, especially if you're in a network marketing business, but just focusing on sales. And so I just wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you, everybody. I am truly enjoying the show. And with that, back to you, Laura. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Ann. Wow, time passed when you're really enjoying yourself. We're down to the last 10 minutes of our show this morning. And I don't know if there's anyone else that's on the line that have not made a comment on the 30 major causes of failure, and you would like to do so. We could take those comments within the last these next 5 minutes, and we'll use our last 5 minutes to do a wrap up of this show today. Is there anyone, even with our masterminders, who have already commented, or if you see another one of the 30 ones that you know that's really impacted your life and would also be a great benefit to sharing with those of us who are listening, you may do so at this time as well. And I'm looking at number 28. It talk about egotism and vanity. So these qualities serve as red lights which warn others to keep away. They are fatal to success. And I know those of us who have been in corporate, in the corporate world, and those of us who have our own business and whatever is always out there with the movers and shakers, you see many people who are very egotistical. They are very unapproachable. And a lot of times that becomes their failure later on. It may not appear initially because they feel as though they have arrived, but then because of the fact they forgot from whence they came, they forgot those that helped them to get there, and then in the process, next thing they know that, hey, look, they have lost those stairs that were underneath them, helping to hold them up. Yesterday I was talking with someone in my office, and he was promoted to a higher position in sales. And he was saying that they gave him his own office. And he was saying that after he got inside that office, he looked and saw that his productivity started to go down. And he says, oh, wait, wow, what's happening here? And he was saying that he had to sit back and reexamine and realize the fact that his mindset had to change because he didn't ever, ever want to think as though, quote, unquote, I have arrived. And so yesterday we moved into a brand new office, and where's his office? His office, his cubicle is out in the middle of the floor with all of his team members out there where the decisions are being made. Other people have their nice glass closed-in office, but, you know, it's just so interesting that he shared that with me. And so I think that that's very apropos as we talk about our successes and we talk about our failures in life. Always keep in mind, the thing that got you where you are is also going to be the thing that's going to keep you there and take you to the next level. We can never come to the mindset or come to the place that, quote, unquote, that I have arrived, that I have made it, because just when you begin to think that, then someone else is going to come and possibly knock you off your pedestal. Okay, do we have any final comments from any of the other Palm Beach Life Planners? Okay, if there are no final comments in our last 5 minutes, we would just like to have Sharon, if she would tell us about our annual IMA meeting that will take place in January.
Thank you so much, Laura. It's been very educational. I really, really appreciate you, how well you've done this show. And in every all of our callers and all of our listeners, in 2013, start your year with full accountability and balance. Join the International Mastermind Association on Friday and Saturday, January 11th and 12th, for the IMA annual event in beautiful, but Boca Raton, Florida. The International Mastermind Association annual retreat is a day and a half of accountability, creating, sharing, and celebrating goals and accomplishments with like-minded individuals that are living their lives on purpose. You don't want to miss it. For registration and more information on this life-enlightening event, please visit our website, www.internationalmasterminders.com. Thank you, Laura.
Okay, thank you, Sharon. As we wrap up our show for today, again, we thank each and every one of you for having tuned in. We thank you for your comments. We thank you for your silence, those of you that listen in but did not comment, but I know that silence is golden. And I want to close with the last one, and I think that this is a big one. And when I read the book, I can't think of the name of the book right now, but anyway, well, I know the book titled How I Raised Myself from Failure to Success in Selling. And this was one of the biggest, one of the words that was highlighted throughout the book, and that is what? Enthusiasm. You got to be enthusiastic about whatever you do. And that's number 22 for the lack of success. It says, without enthusiasm, one cannot be convincing. Moreover, enthusiasm is contagious, and the person who has it under control is generally welcome in any group of people. And I think that we can all attest to that. When you have and when you're enthusiastic, no matter what it is that you're doing, someone is going to attach themselves to you. You can see a person who might be having a bad, bad day, but if you're enthusiastic and then you begin to talk with that person, and they will usually say, you know what, after speaking with you or after just listening or having you listen, I feel so much better. So we ask you to go forth and have an enthusiastic day. Continue to know that you are hold the key to your failure and to your success, and make every day a worthwhile day, because every day that God graces us with is another day for us to achieve something that we did not achieve yesterday. Have a good day, and we thank you all from the Palm Beach Life Planners Mastermind Group based on the book Think and Grow Rich. Thank you again. This concludes our show for today.